This podcast is brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Keep Joy on air by becoming a member, a subscriber, or donate. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.
Welcome to a Joycast from Joy 94.9. Visit joy.org.au to find out more about our Joycasts.
Here's another Saturday Magazine podcast brought to you by Joy sponsor Virgin Australia. Visit virginaustralia.com.
Across Melbourne on Joy 94.9 and streaming online at joy.org.au, you're listening to Saturday Magazine every Saturday 10 till 12.
We are continuing on our discussion thread of Social Security and welfare payments, and of course the debt notices that have been issued over the last little while from Centrelink. There are whistleblowers who are suggesting that this is probably much bigger than we could possibly understand. Peter is from Social Security Rights Victoria. He joins us on the phone. Peter, good morning.
G'day. How are you?
Good, thank you. Can you tell us what SSRV does, first of all?
Yeah, we're a community legal centre that provides telephone advice, principally, though we do email and other stuff, about social security law. So that covers most of the stuff that Centrelink does, apart from things like aged care and things. But yeah, so all pensions, benefits and family assistance, like family tax benefit and stuff.
And Peter, is this a new thing, these letters that are being issued from Centrelink recovering debts that some people don't even owe? Is this a new thing, or is this something you've seen for some time?
It's a new thing this financial year. So Centrelink have always done this, but they've done it manually in the past. And the government gave them some money in the budget to do it kind of using an algorithm. And so they've built this, you know, funky algorithm like Google and all that stuff. And that they've sent out, our understanding is, about 800,000 debt notices so far.
Peter, it's Macca here. What really troubles me about this is I see it in a way as this is to create an environment where people are thinking there's something intrinsically wrong with the welfare system, that the government has to do this, that the government is saying, look, you know, there's all this, you know, there's all these people. Well, surely it comes back to, and none of us are denying that there are instances where people have been paid the wrong benefit, whether it's their fault, whether they've done it by design, whatever. No one, I think, says they shouldn't pay it back. But I think this is to create a situation where people are going to be made to think, you know, the welfare system is being rorted to such an extent when we know that's actually not the case. Or am I on the wrong track there?
I think there's certainly a political agenda along those lines. There's also a second political agenda that the government doesn't want to get money out of its rich mates. It wants to get it off the poor because they don't vote for them. And, you know, there's a significant agenda of both of those behind it, I believe, yes.
And, Peter, this is the alarming thing as far as I'm concerned. You know, we've got a multitude of companies who pay very little tax. We've got very wealthy religious organisations who pay zero tax because they are religious organisations. And yet the most vulnerable and the most marginalised within our community who do rely on social welfare are being attacked and being asked to pay up while government ministers are spending fortunes on personal travel. I guess the next question for me along this line is, if how can we start to resolve this situation? If I've received a letter stating that I have a debt, how can I, and I don't believe that it is my debt, how can I start to resolve the issue? Is there a solution, or is there a somewhere that you would direct people to start the process of questioning that or challenging the debt?
Oh, yeah. So there's effectively two options. So the first option is the technical one. So if you've got a Centrelink online profile, all the information about the debt is actually in that profile. And if you go into that profile, and for example, the classic one is that you actually only worked for a certain period of the financial year. So let's pick you only worked, say, July to December. So you're finishing off, say, a degree or something. And then you went into full-time study of, you know, full-time work from February, let's say, through to June, the end of the financial year. And you basically earned nothing from in non-Centrelink earnings in that first half of the year. You can go into the system and you can modify the dates, because the algorithm basically just says, Bernie got X amount of money that we know wasn't Centrelink money. We've divided by 26 and we've put it into these fortnights. You can go on and modify when you got the money. When you do a modification of the system, it then goes to an actual human being, the joyous people called compliance officers, and then they decide whether or not they consider it's valid or not. And in some cases, if they consider it's valid, the debt goes away. So that's the way you can do it if you have access to that system. If you don't have access to that system, you can't do that. Centrelink staff have been told they're not to help people effectively do that in Centrelink offices.
Which is the most frustrating thing? That's their job, is to assist people. It's not there to collect government money. It's actually there to assist people who are reliant on social welfare.
That's correct. The Department of Human Services, which is the federal one, not to be confused with the old state one, which oversees Centrelink, is determined to get people on to do all their stuff interacting online. They effectively want to get rid of Centrelink offices, and this is very much part of this. So that's the thing you can do from a technical point of view. From a legal point of view, every Centrelink decision, apart from a couple of obscure ones that aren't relevant here, you can challenge. Mm. You can go to an authorised review officer and request a review of the debt. Now, we know that there's a fair chunk of these debts that have been created on spec. So there is sort of some figure that's out there that's created the debt, but when it gets reviewed, they'll say, the person wasn't on. And we've had people who had debts for periods that Centrelink knows they weren't on the payments for. And a lot of these debts that get challenged will be either reduced or disappear entirely. But because they've got such a scattergun approach, they're going to get a fair chunk of that money back. A lot of the people they're challenging are people who aren't on Centrelink anymore, so they're not long-term beneficiaries, but particularly students or people who are on payments for a certain period of time. Mm. And because, of course, we don't believe in conspiracy theories or any of that sort of stuff, we're convinced that, in actual fact, a significant number of the debts have been raised from employment from employers that don't exist anymore.
Yeah.
Mm. Nobody's rung us and said, I was doing that, but I worked at Coles. Or I worked at Safeway or something like that, and I went down to the pay office and they said, yeah, Bernie, here you go, here's your documents. It's all from people ring us up all the time and go, no, mate, that company went into liquidation about 4 years ago and they still didn't even pay me some of the money they were supposed to.
Correct.
And so when Centrelink says, get your pay slips, knowing full well
that you can't get them.
You can't get them.
Mm.
One of the things that disturbs me, and we were speaking earlier to Emma King from VCOS, and don't attack me for this. Many years ago, I worked as a mercantile agent, but we refused to take work from Centrelink because the paperwork was always wrong, and you could never actually sort out what the debt was. But it's important, people must understand that you are not obliged to pay a fee, a collection fee. That is only payable when awarded by a court. So if the agency is saying to you, the debt collection agency, oh, you have to pay, you owe us $8,000. Oh, and by the way, our fee is $800. You are not obliged to pay that unless it's awarded by a court.
Yeah. This is where the issue becomes a bit grey, because legally, Centrelink overpayments are not debts.
Yes, correct.
Right, so, and the main reason that Centrelink uses mercantile agencies, and it uses effectively three, and one of them particularly, and I don't know so much about the other two, I just had some dealings in another life with one of them, was one of the reasons they use those is because this one at least has very good tracing ability.
Traces, yeah.
Yeah, and so that's one of the reasons. But no, the law allows Centrelink to charge a 10% fee where there is evidence that reportings were not correct. And that's a Centrelink fee. It's not a mercantile fee.
I can give you a little clue, something you might want to investigate, Peter. A lot of these agencies, right, are getting illegal access to government databases to do this skip tracing.
Yeah, I think there's almost no question about that.
And the government is complicit in this. They know, and I know I used to work in this industry a long time ago, they know that they are accessing things like the Medicare database, the tax office database, right? And that is illegal. They are not permitted to. Centrelink can, but these agencies cannot. They simply cannot.
It's safe to say that it's of great value to those organisations to get this information. Because, you know, unfortunately, people who are not well off often are the people who have issues with phone companies and gas companies and all that sort of stuff.
Peter, we need to wrap this up, unfortunately, but I wanted to say thank you. It's if people need to access your service, if they are going through a debt recovery process, what is the easiest way for them to get in touch?
Okay, we run a phone advice service between 9:30 a.m. and 12:30 on weekdays, and the Melbourne number is 9481 0355, or if you're outside Melbourne, it's 1-800-094-164, or you can just, if you go to our website, all that stuff's there, www.ssrv.org.au.
Peter, thank you for that.
Thank you.
We'll pass those numbers on to our front desk as well if you missed those. We're grateful for your time this morning.
No problem.
Cheers.
That's Peter from the Social Security Rights Organisation, Social Security Rights Victoria.
Thanks for listening to a Joycast from Joy 94.9.
Thanks for listening to another Joy podcast brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Help us keep Joy on air. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.